First, we're going to have our reading of Psalm 23. This is the New Living Translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. God lets me rest in green meadows and leads me beside peaceful streams. God renews my strength. God guides me along right paths, bringing honor to God's name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you, Deborah. She's going to read the second scripture in just a little bit. You all may, those of you that come every Sunday, may recognize that normally I don't have to hold a microphone in my hand, that we have what Bill calls the Madonna mic. So that I can talk with my hands. So I may have a little trouble preaching today because I'm one-handed, and I'm used to multiple hands, so forgive me if I do. I want to tell you a little bit of a story. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? A lot. Lots of hands up there as well. How many of you have walked on the Bright Angel Trail? A fewer. Okay, so the Bright Angel Trail is probably the most popular hiking trail at the Grand Canyon. It leads from the rim of the Grand Canyon all the way down to the Colorado River, about a drop of about 5,000 feet spread out over 11 miles. It is the most popular hiking trail, but not down at the bottom. There's just very few people that make it all the way there, because if you make it all the way there, you got to try and figure your way back up. But at the top, it's a bit like a highway. There's a lot of people there. So in 2003, Kirsten and Micah and Naya and I were at the Grand Canyon, and we decided to take our little ones on a hike down the Bright Angel Trail. And we got just a little ways down, and all of a sudden we heard this amazing commotion and we heard just sound of people whooping and hollering and stuff. And we got to a place where we could look, trying to figure out what was going on. And what was going on is we saw a wild goat running up the Bright Angel Trail. And this wild goat was doing its best to escape whatever was scaring it, which probably was this mass of two-legged people in all shapes and sizes, wearing all sorts of colors, and it was doing its best, which was run real fast and sort of run at things as well, because that's its best form of defense. And we watched this, and we watched people jumping out of the way as this goat is running up the trail, until finally there was a break in the people and it jumped off into the woods and went on its way. Goats, like sheep, are what we call prey animals, which means they are not predators. They are who are preyed upon by bigger, faster carnivores. Goats are not carnivores. They like nuts and berries and bark and leaves and grasses and things like that, just like sheep do. And so they don't have a whole lot of natural defenses about them. They don't have big talons. They don't have sharp teeth. They can run. And sometimes they can run at something to try and scare them, but basically their only form of defense is to run, and to run as far and as fast as you can, which is what this goat was doing. And I think in the world of sheep and goats, that there might have been for many of them a leap forward when domestication came into their life. Now, normally we think, oh, let's everyone be wild and all that, but this symbiotic relationship that developed between sheep and goats and humans is truly an amazing one, because as the 23rd Psalm speaks about, that shepherd is able to play a role in the lives of the goats or the lives of the sheep that allows them to be able to sleep with a modicum of safety rather than having to keep one sheep eye or one goat eye open while looking out for wolves or whatever other prey might be out there. And this relationship develops between a shepherd and these ungulates, sheep, goats, that is truly quite amazing and allowed, I think, for a time, for the life of the sheep or for the goats to not have to be as panicked as that poor wild goat was that was running up the Bright Angel Trail, trying to best desperately escape whatever was chasing it, which was really itself, its fear. I think there's a good reason why, when the people of ancient Israel are looking for a psalm to talk, to speak about their relationship with God, that they create the 23rd Psalm. That they create the 23rd Psalm because the people of Israel have been prey for much of their existence. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Philistines, remember? That's what Goliath was, Philistine. The Canaanites, the Greeks, the Romans, they were locked in constant battle, and most of the time, they were the people that were being preyed upon. And so they could identify with sheep. They could identify with goats who are prey animals. They could also identify with the fact that they wandered off the path many a time. They wandered off the path when there was a new oppressive agency from the outside, whether it's the Babylonians or the Assyrians, and they said, you must worship our God now, and so Baal becomes our God, or the Hellenistic gods, or the Roman gods, whatever it was, we wandered off the trail because we didn't know how to stay found and got ourselves lost, was part of the story of the people of Israel. And so Psalm 23, which says to them, and I love the interpretation that I had Deborah read today. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing that I need. Normally we think, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But what a different turn of the phrase. There is nothing else that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. When I walk through those places of evil where the shadows descend upon me, I shall be fine. When I get to the place where the end of times may be coming, I know that my God shall be present with me. For the people of Israel, as for so many people, such words bring comfort, bring joy to our hearts. In a world that is filled with wolves, whether they be actual wolves or the wolves of Wall and any other mean streets, having a shepherd that will promise you a certain amount of safety so you can put your head down at night is a very wonderful thing to have. In a world in which there are thickets and brambles that will trap us and keep us separated from others, whether those be actual thickets and brambles or whether or not they be social isolation, marginalization, demonization, whatever it be, having a God that will be present with you and will promise you that you are not lost, but are indeed found with that God, that is a good thing to have, such a shepherd. In a world in which we are uncertain of what happens on the other side when we cross that veil and death is looming upon us, whether that is an actual death or it is a death of abandonment, the death of that so many people go through in our lives, to have that promise, that good shepherd present with us, is so very important. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall have nothing else that I need. I know those words. I feel those words. I feel them in my heart, in my soul, as much as I feel that God is love. And yet, I think about my life, and I think about the reality of my life. I live in a home with solid walls and a solid roof, with enough rooms for Kirsten and myself and other people to join us there and to be safe inside that home. I live in a place that has a larder and a pantry that is so full that any time that I wish to eat three meals a day, snacks or whatever, there is always an abundance of food that I can draw upon. I have a job that pays me regularly and pays me fairly, and I do not have to worry about where will the money come from. In short, I live a life, as much as I love the Lord is my shepherd, as kind and wonderful words, I live a life in which I really don't need that shepherd in my life. All the good things that the shepherd is promising to the sheep, I already have. And I already have that not because I have done something that makes me more deserving than somebody else. I am not more deserving of those good graces that are part of my life. I just happened in the lottery of life to have pulled one of the golden tickets that is possible. But the truth be told, is I am not more deserving. I have a friend that I was just with whose husband of 40 years went out for a swim and had a heart attack and died. And she now faces the decades of her life in front of her, which were to be lived with a partner by her side. She lives going into that valley of the shadow of death with it so very real. I'm not more deserving of the grace in my life than she is. I'm not more deserving in the grace of my life than the folks that if I walk just these streets that are around us, the folks that are having to make homes of cardboard and tarps, who have to sleep with one eye open because there are others that may be even less fortunate that may come and steal from them. I am not more deserving. I am not more deserving than the folks that are living through war in Ukraine, their family, their children, their families and children suffering with the loss of their parent and suffering with potential loss of life. I'm not more deserving than that, more deserving the animals and the plants and all that are suffering from a climate crisis. I'm not more deserving, and yet I have all those graces. And so I ask myself, when I read Psalm 23, as beautiful and as wonderful as it is, for some people, for some parts of this world, does it not seem like, if the Lord is my shepherd, where have you been? As Jean and I were talking about the other day, she said, if God was truly a parent, that social services might well be bringing God up for some, you know, where have you failed these who are supposed to be your charges? And that's when I begin to wonder, where is all this? I think about 2,000 years ago in Jesus's time. And I think about the women of that world. At best, were property, at best. At worst, were just disposable with no voice, who cared? I think about the folks that were the peasant workers of the time, the shepherds, the fishermen, the carpenters, all these amazing folks who could see all of their profits taken from them and sucked away so as to fill the larders of the Roman soldiers. I think about those thousands, hundreds of thousands that were enslaved in Rome at the time. Where was their shepherd? And then I listened to the second scripture. Deborah, would you read the second scripture?
This is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This is from the Contemporary English Version. They spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. They also broke bread and prayed together. Everyone was amazed by the many wonders and miracles that the apostles worked. All the Lord's followers often met together, and they shared everything they had. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whomever was in need. Day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely while praising God Everyone liked them, and each day the Lord added to their group others who were being saved.
They were like family to each other, Scripture says. They shared everything they had. They would sell their property and possessions and gave money to whoever was in need. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely. And who populated this church? Was it just the 12 disciples? Who populated this church? Who populated this church were indeed the people who had been preyed upon time and time again. It was women, it was orphans, it was widows, it was those who had been slaves. All of those folks populated the church. All of those folks who had great need that the world, the community, the society had forgotten about, and they came to the church, and if they needed food, there was food. If they needed a roof over their head, there was a roof over their head. If they needed an extra coat, someone had a coat to share. They took all their possessions, they gathered them together, they sold them so that whoever had need, their need was met. That's the first generation church. That's the living embodiment of the love of God as experienced in Jesus in their life, as experienced in the Christ living within them. That is the first generation church. And I read that, and I've never read it in context with Psalm 23 before, but as I read that, I realize that who is the good shepherd in today's world? In whom does the Spirit of the living God be called to live into? Us. The church, we are called to be that good shepherd. We are called to be those who, when there is need, will take from our abundance and meet that need. We are an amazing church here, Church of the Crossroads, 99 years and 50 weeks old. And we aspire, as every church does, we ultimately will never be perfect, but we do aspire. We aspire to be that which is indeed the living embodiment of the love of God. And I listen to Psalm 23, and I listen and I hear, what is it that we therefore aspire to? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not have need. I have no needs. We aspire to be that shepherd that meets the needs of the community. Community that gathers within the walls, but the community that is outside of our walls as well. The Lord is my shepherd, and as I walk into the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. That when we go through the roughest and worst and most difficult of times, that we will know that we have one another accompanying us into that valley. Yea, and then we hear those words at the end of God's mercy, God's countenance, God's presence with us at all times, to be that for one another, to be that for the world. That is what we aspire to be. We aspire to be the living embodiment of Psalm 23. If we get anywhere close to that as our North Star, what a church. What a church we shall be. But just aspiring and shooting towards it is what God calls us to do. God does not call us to perfection. God calls us to get on that path and walk that path as best as we can. Amen.